most intense, thrilling, electrifying sport on the planet. Mixed Martial Arts. You've been looking for the definitive podcast to call your new home to hear everything about it. The search is over. This is the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. Bringing you the hottest MMA breakdowns straight from the heart of the octagon. This show is all about MMA breakdowns. For fans, by fans. We're talking UFC, MMA, and the occasional big boxing match. We'll bring our unique take on how these fights are going to play out and who we think are the best bets. Welcome to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. And now your hosts, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly, and Emiliano, a.k.a. Jive Turkey Nano.
How are we doing, fight fans? Welcome back to another episode of the MMA Anomaly Show, No Filter. I'm your host, Olin, a.k.a. MMA Anomaly. You know the drill. With me, as always, is the co-host with the most, Jive Turkey Nano. How we doing, brother?
Let's go. Great intro as always, brother. Great to see you. Great to have everybody here. Let's go. If you with me, let me hear you in the chat. Come on. I'm doing good, brother. Thank you for asking. It is Thursday, a.k.a. Friday, Junior. The vibes are immaculate, man. We are rolling on into the weekend. But first, we got to talk about some violence, baby. We're taking a trip to Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. Come on, baby. Oh, Andy got the cup. Come on.
You already know Come what it on. Is, baby. We're ready. We stay ready, so you don't have to get ready, folks. Yeah, as he said, we are going to Viva Las Vegas. And I mean, look, folks, I'm super excited about this fight. I know there's been some talks online, some whispers, some hearsay of this might not be the best fight card of all time. And you know what? It's not UFC 300. But they can't all be UFC 300s, folks. So I'm here to tell you that, I mean, if my co-host were to ask me how I felt about this card, I would just have to respond with,
I'm happy, thank you!
Here we go.
It's a fact, folks. I am happy. Thank you. Tatsuro Taira, thank you for the assist. And with that being said, folks, we are here to talk about UFC Vegas 97. It is Brandon Raw Dog Royval, the Raw Dog himself, coming in here against Tatsuro Taira.
I'm happy, thank you!
And I, for one, am very happy to see this matchup. We got a 16-0 undefeated rising star in Tatsuro Taira coming in against a very game, wily opponent in Brandon Raw Dog Royval. But before we get to the top of the card, we got to start at the bottom of the card, right? So we're going to go ahead and jump right on into things with the first fight of the night. We got Clayton Carpenter coming in against Lucas Roca. No, I'm gonna let you take the lead on this one. And candidly, I don't have a ton of heat on this one. Not gonna be placing any big dog bets on it, but what do you think, Nano? You got a dog in this race?
I do, my brother. I do. I'm gonna be leaning the first guy you mentioned there, our boy Clayton Carpenter, repping Glendale, Arizona. My backyard, baby, my home state as of now. So hard for me to go against him, but do think I have a good case for him to go in here and win. He's 2-0 in the UFC here with the finish as well. 28 years old, 7-0 record, 2 KOs, 3 subs. Again, one of those in the UFC. I like what I'm seeing from this kid. He's strong. And one thing I noticed that stood out to me in listening to one of his Octagon interviews post-fight, dude's got a good IQ. He mentioned what his game plan was. He mentioned some of the adjustments based on what he saw in the fight. And obviously was victorious as well, hence why he was getting the Octagon interview in the first place. But dude's a stud. Yeah, I think he has good IQ, looks strong, well-rounded with 2 KOs, 3 subs here. And again, he has a couple wins in the UFC, so I'm feeling good about it. But that's not to say that this guy, Lucas Roca, does not have a puncher's chance, right? At 24 years old, 17-1 record, 10 KOs, 4 subs under his belt. May not be the most productive guy in the UFC per se. Does have a win on the Dana White Contender Series. It was a knee, KO via KO. KO via knee, I should say. Maybe flip that around there on Davy Betancourt. But man, what else can I say about this kid? Anyone has a puncher's chance. he's going to be tough as nails, and obviously I think he's going to want to come in here and do maybe what he does best so far, and that's knock people out. But I think Clayton's going to be a little too tough for him. I think he's going to be able to come in here, weather the storm, use some of that maturation he has, even though Sky Lucas has been very active as a young fighter so far. All that to say, I'm taking my guy Clayton Carpenter here, double C, to have a gritty victory against a tough, tough young Brazilian who, again, is always game. So I do think, before I pass it back over to you, Clayton Carpenter sent at a minus 205. I know you mentioned you don't have a ton of heat on this one, and I might end up regretting it, so maybe I won't parlay my boy Clayton Carpenter with anyone, but it's the hometown kid. Got to throw like a quarter uni, maybe half a uni on him. I'm going to sprinkle a little something. But talk to me, brother. What do we got?
Man, I love everything you had to say. I'll tell you that. Like I said before, I don't have a ton of heat on this one. If we look at just the straight fight lines, Clayton Carpenter is a minus 205 favorite here. I think you're picking him for good reason. He does have the better resume. He also just, he looks like a stout fighter. He looks pretty damn good. The issue is, again, inexperience always worries me. Lucas Rocha being 17-1. I mean, the guy is also a really good fighter, right? Phenomenal fighter, some would say, as his nickname states. He does have a win on the Contender Series, round 2, 18 seconds in. It was a beautiful knee to Davey Bittencourt. But I digress. This one is definitely going to be a tougher test for him than that Contender Series fight was. Gun to my head, give me Clayton Carpenter. But again, I don't know that I'm putting any heat on this one. And shout out Hiram in the chat. How we doing, brother?
What to do?
So yeah, I at the end of the show, we'll see if we're going to put anything on underdogs or on DraftKings sportsbooks here. Moving into the next one, we have Dan the Man Argueta coming in against Cody Haddon. And shout out to Dan Argueta. He actually trains with our boy Ian. So let's go. Well, the rule of three connection. You know? So we kind of know that guy to an extent. That being said, he has had a pretty up and down run in the UFC. His last fight was a loss to Jean Matsumoto. Before that, he had a draw that was overturned. It was a fight against Miles Johns. And of course, before that, he had another draw that was overturned. Ronnie Lawrence. I mean, again, he's had a tough run. The only person he's beaten in the UFC is your cousin, Nick Aguirre. bad jokes aside.
Sore subject. No, just kidding. Jokes not aside, really, but
I
good catch.
This is a tough one, man. I don't really know how I lean towards this one, but I will tell you, you know, on this show, if you've learned anything about us, we love a dog. We love a dog. So, if I bet on this one, give me Dan Argueta at plus 145. I think it's pretty much a pick'em. And he does have the wrestling skills to essentially control this fight. And even if it's not the most exciting fight of all time, I do think he has the skills to pay the bills and get this one done. Nana, what are your thoughts?
Interesting, brother. I like it. I am on the other side of the fence here. So you said you're going with Dan Argueta. Okay, I like it, and I can see why. He is somebody that is familiar in the UFC. He's been here a little bit longer, made his debut back in 2022. But since then, you know, unfortunately, it's been a little bit up and down for our boy Dan. DA did lose his last fight, and two of his previous fights were no contest, which you just hate to see. A little bit of bad luck there. 1-2-2 overall over the past couple years. So, you know, I think being 31 years old, 9-2 record as well, 2 KOs, 4 subs, Dan has a lot of skills. And I do think that submission game certainly is going to be the X factor here, but he is the underdog. So I like that you're taking the underdogs here to set the tone. I can't bet on this underdog, unfortunately. And the reason being is, please ignore his mustache on, UFC.com because he's much tougher than that. Than it looks there. But Cody Haddon, absolute savage, coming out of Perth, Australia. 100% finish rate for this guy, Cody. That's huge. Even though he only has 7 wins, he's 26 years young, 5 KOs, 2 submissions. So not a one-trick pony. coming off a rear naked choke W back in August. Had a really, really good knockout before that as well. Ripped the body, went upstairs. I think he might be another legit dude coming out of Australia. I know they've been producing some guys. We've been talking about for a while. I'm talking about all those boys. Israel Adesanya. I'm talking about Dan Hooker. Alexander Volkanovski. You know, a lot of these guys are living in a land down under. And they are throwing down. Thank you, brother. But give me Cody on this one, man. One of us are doing a shot. I don't think it's going to be me, but we'll find out next week, baby. Come on.
Tune in next week to find out what happens on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly. If you know, you know.
Definitely the vibes. Yeah, one of us will definitely be doing a shot on that one, folks. Oh, speaking of the next one, you just hate to fucking see it. Have to pour out a preemptive shot for this one, buddy. As those of you that listen to the show religiously might know and might even be a part of, looking at you, Hiram, we have what's called a UFC fantasy league that we've started this year. So what I did is basically had everybody in this league choose one fighter from each weight class, as well as one extra fighter that is a flex position, so to speak, in fantasy football terms. So a fighter of your choice from any weight class for that last one. And then I'm tallying up those points that those fighters are scoring up until December 31st using the DraftKings scoring system. I digress, folks. My heavyweight pick is Chris Barnett. He was supposed to fight this weekend, folks. He was originally supposed to fight Waldo Cortez Acosta. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're still in the chat here, Hiram, I think you picked that guy. If it wasn't you, I know it was one of the other guys in the league. But either way, first Waldo falls off. People are saying, where's Waldo? And then, now my guy falls off. Now they're saying, where's Chris? Nobody hates Chris, though. Can't even try and make that joke because he's just a lovable guy. Now, we get Junior Taffa versus Sean Sharaf. I mean, if there's ever been a time to cue it. Here we go, folks. Go. It's just not as fun of a fight. I was happy with Junior Taffa versus Chris Barnett, even if only because I thought, well, this is a good way for me to get points in this fantasy league that we have going. Because, I thought Chris was very game to win that fight, and I'll be honest, Sean Sharaf, I don't know a ton about it. Oh, you know what? Maybe it was Adrian that had him. He needs to get up in here.
I was thinking that. I was just going to say, I think it's my compadre, Adrian.
Adrian.
Yeah. Adrian.
Derek Lewis will test the new gloves. We'll have a discussion about the new gloves. For sure. No, I have one poured up for Chris Barnett falling off this fight. I don't know if you're ready.
In the arms of angels. I don't know the rest of the words, but I'm right there with you, brother. I think I know where he went. He went to go find Waldo, obviously.
You know what the reason he pulled out is, right?
No, brother. Lay it on us.
He can't get to Vegas. The hurricane.
Weather.
Never in my life did Mother I think Nature. Chris Barnett would get fucked up by a dude named Milton. Cheers to fucking, that.
Sounds like an average bloke down the block. Good old Milton.
Fucking Milton.
Oh, wow. Fucking Milton.
And
thoughts
listen,
and prayers, everyone out there. All jokes aside,
thoughts and prayers to all those in Florida. I was actually born out there. And all jokes aside, look, if we just rubbed you the wrong way because your name is Milton, the only reason that we made that joke is because we know you haven't hit the like or subscribe button yet. And you also for sure haven't hit the bell to get those notifications. So as soon as you do that, we will pull back the heat on Milton's around the world. Do your part, we'll do ours, we got to talk about this actual heavyweight fight here. We got Junior Taffa, not Justin Taffa. We got Junior, the little guy, coming in against Sean Sharaf, a dude with 4 professional fights, but he does have a fun nickname. Sean the Smoke Sharaf. Now, I don't know who I have in this one. Junior Taffa is one of those guys where it's like a fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. No, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, can't get fooled again. This is just a weird one because this Sean Sharaf guy, every single fight that he's had, Nano, he has finished in two rounds or less. And all of them but one were in the first round. What up, Jalen? How we doing, brother? Love to see you in the chat, my guy.
Let's go.
Taffa, Taffa, Taffa. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Nano, what are you saying?
I'm not saying that, brother. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that for a couple reasons, okay? I simply can't do it, Captain, okay?
I can't do it, Captain. I'm giving just, all she's got.
I need more power. There's a few reasons why, and I want to reconfirm that, yeah, I'm taking my first underdog here, ladies and gents. I'm taking the underdog. I'm taking the Sean Sharaf, okay? And now, a couple reasons being here, okay? I think we all like the underdog sometimes, so partially that. But my boy Sean, 31 years young, 4-0, like you mentioned, 4 KOs, has not needed the judges. He knocks them up, puts them down. Come in here, represent Cali. So the Cali boy in me always has to go for the Cali kid here. But why else, right? What else is going on? Like you said, not very active. I know he's getting coached up, right? He's with Extreme Couture, so he's with Coach Eric Nixick and Sean Strickland and with a lot of guys sharpening iron. We'll keep the applause going here because he is also a Marine. So taps off to you there. I think that could explain the lack of experience or wins in the octagon, but Dude was getting wins in the trenches, literally. Okay, so getting dubs regardless. And Dude looks absolutely strong. He's Palestinian. Quick shout out there as well. But my brother, he wants all the freaking smoke. I mean, turn on the tape. He's tatted. He's bald. He's got a good smile. He's got the beard. And he's got some really, really heavy hands, my brother. I'm not just saying that because maybe he's been fighting tin cans in other divisions. It's not just that. Go look at it. He throws everything with balance, and dudes are knocking down. So I don't think it's going to be any different for a Junior Taffa here. I think it's the namesake that's really alluring Vegas. Maybe they didn't do their homework on this one. It happens. That's why we're here. And I guarantee y'all, if you see the odds change, it's because might have to throw a full unit on this guy, Sean. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. Oh, yeah. That's it, baby. That's all I got. I got Sean Sharaf, baby. And it might be by finish. I haven't seen it from Junior Taffa, my brother. He's 28 years old, 5-3, 5 KOs as well. So maybe the judges won't be needed on this one. But he's coming off back-to-back L's. What's he got left, man? That's I'm just going to leave it there. What's he got? What's he got for me? You know, maybe he's listening to this. Maybe this will be the soundbite that motivates little bro to try and trace big bro's legacy there. But how tough is Taffa, huh? How tough are you? That's what I want to ask him. How tough are you, Taffa? That's what I got. Come on.
I like it. I like it, man. He's plus 260 at Moneyline. I'm not mad about that.
Let's see. I mean, dude looks nice. Dude looks nice. Don't say I didn't warn you about the sheriff.
He is nice with it.
He wants all the smoke.
I'm not going to deny that. He's definitely nice with it. You can put down one unit and get 3.6 back. So I think I'm basically going to go ahead and put down a half a unit and get just shy of two back. You talked me into it, you fucking sales rep.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
All right. With that being said, folks, we move right on into a women's strawweight bout between Julia Pilastri and Corey the Hobbit McKenna. We got a 12-4 Julia Pilastri coming in against an 8-3 Corey McKenna. Original bout slated was Corey McKenna versus Pollyanna Viana. We also had somebody in our fantasy league who had Pollyanna Viana. I'm going to pass this one to you to let you take the lead while I look up who had Pollyanna Viana in our league. I think it might have been you.
I said that's tough because I'm pretty sure I think that's me. A wise man once said, "Oh no, we suck again." So we suck again. Julia Pilastri here. Pilastri, my apologies. 26 years young, 12-4 record, 4 KOs, 3 submissiones. High finish rate for our girl Julia coming out of Brazil. 1-1 record in the UFC. Excuse me here. That was the Modelo talking. I'm excited about this one, though. I do think, obviously, a little bit different. And again, I lost my girl Pollyanna, but we're going to keep it moving. We're still excited to see some violence here on Saturday night. But Corey McKenna here, 25 years young, 8-3 record, 2 KOs, 2 subs, no slouch, and someone that, frankly, I'm a little more familiar with seeing here in the UFC. She's 4-2 thus far in her career. Again, in the UFC octagon, that is. But Julia is the favorite. And they're both coming off losses. It's not like anyone has really big momentum here. I will say one thing that stood out to me. Julia is an inch shorter than her opponent, Corey McKenna, but she will have close to 5 inches of a reach advantage. So is she going to be able to use that, keep Corey McKenna at bay? I think so. I do think that the Brazilian will get it done, the Benton favorite, and yeah, the girl that would be victorious here on Saturday night. But from a better's perspective, send this one out. All right, I'm on the sidelines. I'm hitting the showers. I'm putting it on ice. But I'll be back, as Terminator once said as well. Back to you, my brother. What are we thinking?
I'll be back. Come on.
Get down here now. Get to the chapel now. Get down.
Come on. Come on, how can you be me if I'm me? I'm me, you can't be me.
Get down again, now!
Fucking Total Recall, bro. He had so many good movies. Look, this fight's a toss-up for me. I won't be betting on it, I don't think. But if I had to, give me Corey McKenna at dog odds, plus 110. She's actually been training for a fight. She's been slated for a fight against Pollyanna Viana, who I thought would have been a troublesome matchup for her, or a solid test for her at 13-7. The person standing across from her has slightly less experience and roughly a similar skill set. Coming off of a loss to Josephine Knutson, and it was a kind of a grindy decision loss to Knutson. She landed 86 strikes to 145 landed on her from Knutson. She was able to land 3 of 3 takedowns, which is kind of worrisome. But at the same time, again, she's fighting Corey McKenna, who has a very low sense of gravity, someone who is no slouch when it comes to takedowns or takedown negation, fighting out a Team Alpha male or Team Alpha, I believe they call themselves now, either way. Give me McKenna in this one. I like McKenna to get it done in a grindy, windy decision win. And moving into the next one, we have a much, much more exciting fight, in my opinion. We have the aging semi-legend Nico Price fighting Temba Garimbo. This fight has fireworks written all over it. I don't think either guy is really capable of putting on a very boring fight. I mean, in Temba Garimbo's only decision win in the UFC, he landed 110 strikes to 15. So it was literally a dog walking in every sense of the word. I'm going to keep it short and sweet on this one. I won't waste a whole lot of time. Give me Temba Garimbo, basically, however he chooses to get it done. I like Nico Price a lot. I think he is a game, wily veteran. And I do think he has paths to victory, but I just haven't liked what I've seen in his last handful of fights. He got beat by a Robbie Lawler who was literally on the way out the door. And Temba Garimbo is somebody that's on the come up. And he's somebody that is gaining a lot of popularity and a lot of eyes in the public for good reason. So I've got my eyes on him and I've got my money on him and I've got him on my fantasy draft. He is my welterweight pick. So
nice.
I got him and I got Satoru Taira. Spoiler alert.
Jeez. It's a big Saturday for you, my brother.
It is.
Let's go.
It really is.
I like it, so, man. I like it.
Who you got, man? Who you got?
I'm agreeing with you. We're going to ride the train. We're going to ride the Themba train here for a few reasons. Like you mentioned, he's someone you want to root for coming out of Zimbabwe. And somebody that you might have seen if you're a Rock fan or the Rock fan. He was endorsed by him. I believe he bought him, what was it, a house or a down payment on a house.
He bought him a house, yeah.
Literally bought him a house. So that's The Rock doing the Lord's work there. And if anybody deserves it, it's someone like a Themba Greenbo. Again, doing it the right way, doing all the right things. Got the opportunity, got his foot in the door, and absolutely knocked it down. 33 years old, 13-4 record, 2 KOs, 6 submissions. And he's 3-1 here in the UFC as well. And he has a really, really explosive knockout under his belt to add to that resume. Although he is always game for a submission finish, which is probably why the odds are where they are. I think they're certainly thinking. Vegas is certainly leaning Themba's direction here like we are. And again, all the hype is real. And I think it's partially because he's looked really good in his previous fights thus far. But it's also a little bit of Nico Price just being too unpredictable, too hard to bet on, especially from a bettor's perspective. I'm sure if you're them, he typically loses the fights he's supposed to win and then somehow wins the fight he thought he had no chance winning, which maybe why we love a Nico Price. Like you mentioned, he's starting to develop into that low-key, you know, OG or legend status due to him being around for so gosh darn long. I mean, he's been in the UFC for 8 years, 8-7, and 2 record in that time. I mean, that pretty much has everything he needs to say about Nico right there. It's just great, but up and down. Unfortunately, not someone that has been able to put everything together. And a lot of that is, hey, you fight tough opponents. He's in a stacked division, so I don't want to necessarily hold too much against him. I'm still a huge fan. He's 35, so not that he's sunsetting yet, but certainly starting to get out of his athletic prime, we can consider it. But with the 16-7 record, again, you know, up and down, 10 KOs, 3 subs, gets finished a lot. I don't think the judges will be needed on this one, my brother. I think they're both going to be itching to get their opponent out of there sooner than later. And maybe especially after last week's debacling of the judges' scorecards. So I'd love to see a new record set for the most finishes in a night. I think it's around 7 or 8, if I'm not mistaken. But I'd love to see it, baby. Let's go. Give me Themba, though. Greenbo, here we go.
Greenbo all day, baby. I love it. I fucking love it. I love it. I mean, we don't agree very often, but when we do, it's a great feeling, my friend. Let's see if we agree on this next one and we can keep the ball rolling. That'll be fantastic. We have a featherweight bout between Jonathan Pierce coming in against Pat Sabatini. I mean, when it comes to nicknames, I'll tell you whose nickname I like better for sure. JSP, Jonathan Pierce. Mostly because it's a great nickname. It's kind of a play on GSP, and partially because Pat Sabatini doesn't have a nickname. So pretty easy choice there. all jokes aside, I do think that this one is going to be a fairly close matchup, but I also think that Pierce has all the tools in the bag to get it done. He holds unanimous decision wins over Christian C-Rod Rodriguez in the UFC, as well as Darren the Damage Elkins. He also has a ground and pound knockout in round number 2 over Mr. Finland, Makwan Amerikani, as well as a rear naked choke in round number 2 over Omar Morales, and a ground and pound knockout over Kai Kamaka III. I mean, his only losses in the UFC are to Joe Lozon. I mean, come on, folks. Fucking Joe Lozon. Joe Anderson Brito, who, I mean, we see that guy bullying people all the fucking time in there. And David Onama. So, I mean, aside from the David Onama loss, not really a blemishing record here. Typically, more often than not, he does go out there and get it done via KO or TKO. He also has a knack at getting some submission wins. Oh, by the way, if it goes to decision, he's game for one of those too, folks. So give me JSP in this one. I like this guy to get it done. Again, standing across from him is a game opponent in Pat Sabatini. It's near even odds. Jonathan Pierce is a slight favorite. I would say he's a slight favorite in my opinion as well, or rather in my pick. He has a 1-inch reach advantage. He is 3 inches taller. 4 inches taller. I just think that he knows how to use the range and reach to his advantage. And I don't think Pat Sabatini is going to really be able to take him down. I think it's going to be a long night for Pat Sabatini. And shout out Sav in the chat. How you doing? Hope you're having a fantastic night. She is going to the karate combat show. And Poetan's sister is fighting there.
So let's go. It'll
be a good time. Hope you have a blast.
Howdy, Panda. Great to have you. Let's go. Let us know how you feel about this card. Let us know how excited you are about that. Let us know how that goes after. We want to hear all about it. That's a good one. Jealous. We're going to live vicariously through you for that event here. And, man, this is, I don't know if you're finished. I don't know if I'm stepping on your toes, but absolutely hit the nail on the head, brother. Absolutely great breakdown. That's why we love you. The host is with the mostest. And, man, how do we go against our boy Jonathan Pierce? Repping Johnson City, Tennessee. You know, 6-3 as well since joining the Dana White Contender Series back in 2019. 32 years young, just getting into his prime here. 14-6 record, 9 KOs, 2 submissions. I like what I've seen from Jonathan Pierce, man. He's got all the makings, like you said, to be a contender, to be someone that's going to be sticking around for quite some time. But he's got a tough matchup in front of him, right? He's got somebody that I believe does have a one-way road here that he's going to be looking to explore, and that's Pat Sabini here, 33 years young, 18-5 record, 2 KOs, 11 submissions there. Let that sink in. 18 of his wins, 11 of them have been by submission. I think we know he's going to want to go out there and do, ladies and gents. Fighting out of Bristol, Pennsylvania. Pat here recently lost to Diego Lopez. Probably why you might have recognized the name there, and as we like to say around here, you know, with our boy Diago. Yeah. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Also lost to Damon Axon Jackson before that, but 5-2 record. Those are his only blemishes in the UFC. Honestly, if that's his two losses, then so be it. I think he could live with that. And this is all since 2021. He's fought 7 times. He's active, man. He's good. Honestly, I think this is a good test. And that's probably why Jonathan Pierce is not a landslide favorite. You're looking at -180 for our boy JP. I do like it, but to be honest, this is a competitive one. I may just stay away altogether just so I can enjoy it and not be heartbroken if Jonathan Pierce ends up losing it to a tough Pat Sabini. But those are my thoughts. Give me JP. Probably by decision. I think it'll be a tough one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think he probably will more likely than not get it done by decision if he gets it done. Moving into the next one, the last preliminary fight of the night, we have CJ Vergara coming in against Ramazanbek Temirov. Look, CJ Vergara is a very loose, fun fighter to watch. Ramazanbek Temirov is an up-and-comer, 17-2. 27 years old, very young to have such a robust record that he has. There is an elephant in the room that I think needs to be addressed in this 125-pound fight, folks. Even though there's only a 2-inch height difference, there is a 5-inch reach advantage for CJ Vergara. And because of that, I mean, I think it's crazy that he's so much of an underdog. He's plus 285 here, which... I mean, I don't know, dude. Is this a trap? Am I falling for the trap and wanting to kind of sprinkle just a little sprinkle on Vergara here? Talk me off the ledge, bro.
Well, yeah, it might be a trap. It might be a trap for sure. For sure, for sure. It might be a booby trap. I do think if you're going to sprinkle, do a very light sprinkle. Do a light dash, you know, like... You got to treat it like it's some basil or something. Just a little bit on the top there. But you do probably want to hedge it with something on the other side. This guy is no joke that CJ Vergara is going to have to go in there and square off against. But CJ's been around the block. He's a Muay Thai fighter. He's loosey-goosey. But I think another way of putting that is he's comfortable. He's calm, cool, calm, collected. You love to see it when the fighter's, you know, cool as a cucumber, not letting the moment be too big for him. So he'll be aware. He'll be locked in. You know, 33 years old, 12-5 record, 7 KOs, 4-3 since joining the UFC. So even that right there can tell you, I mean, he's lost, right? It's not like he's an undefeated prospect that he's trending towards a title. It's someone that certainly has his blemishes. But boy, oh boy, I think we might have been for a treat here. I was talking about Ishan Sharaf here. Something about the shiny new toy just seems really interesting to me, I think, for this card. Maybe it's the UFC's way of showcasing some of their fancy new toys. I don't know. I mean, I may or may not have a minor in marketing. Could be a little bit of that going on here. You might want to get those eyeballs on these fighters and get them wins over guys that are those quote-unquote household names, at least for the degenerates like ourselves here who need that weekly fix of violence. I digress. Give me Ramzan Bektemirov here. 27 years young, 15-2 record, AKOs, one sub. Dude is an explosive athlete, and he is scary. Just in time for Halloween and the spooky season here, this guy is nightmare fuel, ladies and gentlemen, but for all the right reasons, okay? Extremely heavy hands. I mean, dude is built. I don't know how he makes this 125 weight class. Just absolutely stacked. I mean, I guess, yeah, 5'4", so fair. All that aside, dude would whoop a lot of dudes on this planet right now. I mean, he's a beast. I just want to quickly mention, may not be too familiar with him. He is making his UFC debut, but boy, turn on the tape. What I've been doing outside of going on YouTube or, you know, trying to track down other fights, I know you use UFC Fight Pass as well. You know, shout out those platforms and shout out those tools. But even just going on their pages and seeing how they're promoting themselves, and you'll see some really fun highlight clips. I do know, you know, for you guys out there and for you fantasy football folks, you're going to say, don't check out the highlights. That's not a way to break down tape. You got to watch the all 22. You got to break it down frame by frame. I get it, but use the eyeball test here. And this kid certainly passes the eyeball test. And I think we're going to be in for a treat one way or another. I could be wrong. Maybe the skill set was off. Maybe, hey, everyone looks good on a highlight tape, like you mentioned, with some good edits and whatnot. But give me the young up and coming. Give me the new kid on the block. And, you know, before I hand it back to you, shout out the boys here in the chat. S-Dog, we see you. Fabricio, Shama. Let's go, baby. Always. Come on.
What up, Starling? How we doing, brother? These boys are grinding. Love the show, boys. Keep up the great work. Bro, we love your enthusiasm. We love seeing you in the chat. And we love your show too, man. Make sure you guys check out S-Dog's MMA Talk on Twitter, on YouTube, on all the platforms, folks. And Fabricio Boye, I think I said that right. Chama. Let's go, Fabricio. Let's go. Yeah, man. These fights are fucking exciting. There's actually, I mean, I'm telling you, this is a pretty underrated fight card here. Pretty underrated fight card. So we'll go ahead and jump into the next one, unless I'm cutting you off. I think you were done there.
Chama.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. We got a middleweight bout between Abdul Razak Al-Hassan coming in against Josh Fremd. Oh, man. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan is an angry young man who goes out there and tries to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at these folks. And Josh Fremd is someone who's had a bit of an up and down trajectory here inside of the UFC. You know, we've seen him get a really solid win and then get a loss that doesn't make any sense, right? So it's hard to bet on him from that perspective. Meanwhile, I mean, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan is somebody that, again, he goes out there always looking for the finish, and that makes him pretty tough to bet on as well, because he leaves a lot of openings to get himself hurt in these types of exchanges. Comes in with his hands down, sometimes throwing wild big shots, and those don't all the time pay off. When it comes to the reach, there's actually a 3-inch advantage for Josh Fremd. When it comes to the height, there's even more. He's got a 6-inch height advantage. So Al-Hassan will be firing upward, right? Punching up is tiring as hell. He also has less reach, but he's really good at closing the gap. He's really good at getting inside in that distance, and he usually fights with a bit of a reach disadvantage. Look, the fact of the matter is this. He's got 12 wins to his name, and all 12 of them have come by way of knockout. So he is definitely doing some things right, and he's mainly getting them fucking knockouts. I mean, we got a lot of the guys in the chat here. We got to pour one up, bro. We got Adrian in the chat. Let's fucking go, baby. What up, Adrian?
Let's go. Hey, and Big W today, I know what he's talking about. He's not talking about the UFC fights. He's talking a little baseball. And he's an East Coast kid. He's talking about his New York Yankees. They did get the W. They are advancing. I see you, brother. Salud. Cheers.
Let's go.
To the Yanks in a potential Subway Series. We'll see. Or come by if the series is in San Diego or LA. We may need to take a trip. Come on. Salud. Let's go.
Come see your boy.
Let's go. We got to take care of business, though. Come on. Well, congrats to them for advancing. And Sterling's right. S-Dog is correct. This car deserves a big crowd. It deserves all the praise. It deserves the flowers. And it's going to deserve all the notoriety when we are recapped it next week.
Absolutely, folks. Absolutely. Yeah, I can't agree more, Sterling. This card definitely deserves a huge crowd. It deserves a lot more notoriety than it's getting, and I don't think it deserves any of the hate that it's getting. A lot of people talking shit. But I digress. When it comes to this Josh Fremd fight, fuck it, man. Give me Abdul Razak Al-Hassan via knockout inside the distance. I think he gets it done. He's going to close the distance. He's going to shuffle in fast. Throw one of them fucking Joaquin Buckley hip fires, baby. That's how I see the fight going. Nano, I'm jumping off the soapbox. What you got, brother?
I love it, brother. I love it. And you painted a pretty picture here, so I'll just, you know, add a couple accents to it and, you know, my signature at the bottom so I could get credit as well. But, yeah, man, I do think Abdul has had trouble with power punchers in the past. Does have some losses to a Joe Pyfer, a Joaquin, a Buckley, to say the least there. And, hey, those are two savages, so I don't give him any benefit. Those aged like a fine wine. But, you know, I usually don't like going for the old cat here. I'll probably lean your direction on this one, but I could be talked out of it. I could be swung like an open fence here. You know, it's one of those things. He's 39 years old, 9 years older than his opponent, 12 wins, 12 knockouts. So to your point, most likely than not, he has not needed the judges. So if you're betting the under or just Abdul by a, honestly, straight up by a knockout just to get the juiciest odds, you might be walking away with a pretty payday. My only thing that I would argue against that, and this is putting on my AI analytics hat, Josh Fremd, 30 years old, 11-6 record, 4 KOs, 4 subs, coming in on a 2-fight losing streak. And I got to paint the picture here because he's 1-2, lost 2, and then 1-2. He's very, very streaky, but there is a pattern here. There is a little bit of a Morris code going on. So because he's lost 2-1-2, no joke, wouldn't blame you if you wanted to sprinkle in a little bit and just bet that he's going to win. Because most of the time, again, I'm going to go all the way back to 2021. LFA beats Bruno Oliveira and then loses to Gregory Rodriguez. 2 wins after that, 2 losses. 2 wins, 2 losses. What more do I need to say, y'all? It's coincidence? I think not.
My guy's pulling no punches.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, there's a case to be made. I'll lean Abdul here against my better judgment.
But against my better judgment.
But mark my words, if we come back here, I'm telling you the algorithm and AI and maybe looking at some trends there. Can be something to look at. I'm just saying. That's all I'll say.
I'm not mad about it, bro. I'm not mad about it. I mean, there's definitely there's reason to bet on Josh Fremd, right? Like, if you wanted to hedge that bet, I'm not mad at it. I don't think it doesn't make sense to, right? Like, Josh Fremd does have the reach advantage. He does have the height advantage. His opponent will be aiming up at him, and you can get Josh Fremd money line at +140 odds. But if you did want to bet against Josh Fremd, then I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to take him, take Abdul Razak Al-Hassan by KO or TKO at -110. It's basically like break even odds. Why the fuck not? Or you just go on the Underdogs app and you parlay him with a couple fun things. And there's that. That's also fun. You can do that. So we move into the next one. We have a welterweight bout between D-Rod, Daniel Rodriguez, against Alex, the Great White, Morono. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. I definitely have a favorite in this one. I definitely have a dog in this yard. But I'm curious to hear which dog is yours.
Appreciate it, brother. Yeah, honestly, this is a fun one. This is a fun fight. I'm excited about it. These are two absolute backyard junk dogs just ready to go out there and bleed their own blood and leave it all in the octagon. And both of these guys have had up and down careers, right? They're not necessarily guys that are maybe getting closer to a title, but they're dudes that I will sit down, get the popcorn, tell my kids, you want to watch this one, y'all. Future kids, I should say. Don't have any now, but just telling people amongst I'm with. Check this out. anyone in between that. But again, here, to stay focused, Danny Rodriguez, 37 years old, 17-5 record, AKOs, 4 submissions. A couple things here about D-Rod. I mean, first and foremost, he looks like two of my uncles. Fights like a dude from Cali. Big shout out. You know, looks like he's from the streets. And he's got that dog in him. Like, I need to keep reiterating on this show because that's what we're all about. 3-fight losing streak, though. You hate to see it, but don't let that necessarily get you off the hype train here that D-Rod definitely brings to the table. Because those losses were to a Neil Magny, solid, ranked opponent. Ian Machado. Gary. But Machado. Now, I guess. Another ranked guy who's potentially going to be fine for a championship soon. And I say that with a cringy face. And then last, but certainly not least, our boy Kelvin. No breaks, all Gastelum. Try to fit that one in. But again, man, all guys that you sit there and you're like, oh, okay, I know who that is. Quick shout out to Ezdog here in the chat. I trained with Alex Moreno at Woodlands MMA, and this dude can't crack. You're absolutely right, my brother. You're absolutely right. Which is probably why there's a good chance he's going to win. Which is probably why you know something that the Vegas oddmakers don't, right? Alex Moreno, the Great White Shark, I think. Is it just Great White? I don't know. Either way, he is a Great White.
Great White!
He's just the Great White.
You call him Great White Shark because when he smells blood in the water, ooh-wee, he better make a name for himself out here.
The fact that he's just the Great White. He's just the Great White. The Great White Hope. Come on, brother. Anyways, he's a stud. I can't go against my uncle D-Rod, so I'm leaning him, but would not be surprised if Alex Moreno here, 3 years younger than the opponent, 34 years young, 24-10 record, 6 KOs, 7 submissions under his belt. Dude gets it done. Everywhere it goes, he's got an answer. He's like an encyclopedia. And the thing with Moreno, man, in his last five fights, again, I'm going to put my tinfoil cap on here. He's gone loss, win, loss, win, loss. I think he's due for a win here, unfortunately. So, again, against my better judgment, I'm going D-Rod. But as dog, you might be right, brother. I think he's due for a win. And the odds certainly suggest it as well. As I end with my blue steel face, what do you got, brother?
I got to go with Great White as well. I like D-Rod. I like him a whole lot, but I just think the Great White has the better skill set here. I think D-Rod's best attributes, Moreno does better. I don't want to sound like a dick, but bro, like I just think Moreno genuinely is a little bit better all around than D-Rod here. I also think that kind of like in last week's fight, albeit, you know, I know it ended with a kind of an unexpected of the rib, that Kevin Holland fight, right? Like you could see the speed differential of Kevin. It was nice. It looked really nice. I think we're going to see a speed like that from Moreno. He's unsuspectingly fast, similar to a Yoel Romero, right? So, yeah, I'm all about it, bro. I think Moreno gets this done. I could see him getting it done via submission. Am I going to bet on that specifically? No, probably not. If you look at the specific money line here, get him at plus 180. So why would you bet him on submission? I'm going to put one unit on him. I'm just locking that in right now. One unit gets you damn near 3 back, and it just feels like free money. So let's fucking go, baby. We're going Alex Moreno. We're locking a unit in on it. And we're fucking ready to go, baby. Let's fucking go. My dog Sterling. Let's fucking go.
My dog. I like it, brother. I like it. And I'm just being contrarian here, okay? I hope the Great White gets it done. I'll just be contrarian. I want one of us to do a shot, or both of us, so come on, baby.
I mean, if he gets it done, we'll do a shot because he got it done. If he doesn't get it done, we'll do a shot in sadness. We'll play the sad violin song, but I pray that we're not sad. Instead, I pray we're saying,
I'm happy, thank you!
When it comes time to break down.
I'm not going to cry because it's over. I'm going to smile because it happened. Come on, baby.
That's right, baby. That's right. Let's fucking go. So, yeah, man. That's it for that fight. Again, I think he gets it done. I just think that Alex Morono is going to be a step ahead of him everywhere this fight goes. And with that being said, we have a lightweight bout, arguably the most stacked division in the entire UFC right now, in my humble opinion, between Grant Dawson and Rafa Garcia. Got to tell you, Grant Dawson is another person that somebody drafted in our UFC fantasy draft. Mary's got him as her lightweight pick, and I think he's probably going to deliver some solid points for. I think Grant Dawson is one of those sleeper picks. He's somebody that a lot of people overlook, and he's coming into this one with a reach advantage and a reason to try a little bit harder, right? Look, he's had a bit of a rough patch as of recently, KGD, but at the same time, he's bounced right back from it, right? He got that straight left hand followed by a little barrage of ground strikes. He lost in 33 fucking seconds to Bobby Green. Sucked to see, but it happens, right? Anybody can get dropped in that one quick shot. We call them flash knockouts for a reason. He got flash KO'd. And then he came out there against good old Joe Selecki, smoking Joe. And he got a Yunnan over that guy. Of course, that was on the Islam Makhachev versus Dustin Poirier fight. I was there cage side. Let's fucking go, kid. Let's fucking go. Had to go cheer on my favorite fighter of all time and Dustin Poirier and the guy that broke this fucking pinky in Islam Makhachev. So we were there. We were there. But I digress. Sorry, I lost connection for a second there. And we're back. So we were talking about Grant Dawson versus Rafa Garcia here and how this matchup of 30-year-old men is kind of a perfect matchup at this point in their careers. However, no matter how perfect of a matchup or perfect timing-wise it is for Rafa Garcia, I do think that the reach disadvantage going against somebody that is as good of a grappler as Grant Dawson and is as smart and patient of a fighter as Grant Dawson is going to prove to be a real problem for gifted Rafa Garcia. I think Garcia will attempt takedowns. I think that once he shoots a few takedowns and they do not land successfully, he will get pretty frustrated and then start trying to land big shots and come in with a lot of heavy volume. In his last couple fights, he's gone for 11 takedowns and landed 6. One takedown and landed 0. In both of those fights, he's outlanded his opponent 2-1. What happens when he fails on the takedown attempts and then his opponent also starts out landing him with the kicks and punches? I'll tell you, frustration. It doesn't feel good to feel like you're getting beat. And when you are somebody that, again, like a Rafa Garcia, I've seen this guy when he starts eating shots, he just starts throwing even harder. If it doesn't pan out, you're going to have a very gassed guy going against a very, very strong and wily veteran in Grant Dawson. Give me Grant here. I'd like him to get it done, and there's a reason he's a minus 425 favorite in this one, right? Am I being crazy, Nano, or are you going to talk me off a ledge?
Come on, don't be crazy.
You're not being crazy. You're not being crazy, you're my man. Although my boy Rafa Garcia is...
Garcia!
Is a...
Just a little slap-ass, Garcia!
Motherfucking slap-ass! I probably might know that. But no, brother, I do think Rafa Garcia is a tough opponent, man. He does bring a similar skill set, but I think I heard you say this earlier. Everything he can do, KGD could do better. Because, you
KGD
know...
KGD can do anything better than Rafa
Garcia. And many more. Yeah, man, I think there's a couple things going on here. I think it is just better versus, you know... Versus good, versus the latter there. And Grant Dawson's going to find a way to get it done. I mean, listen, they're both 30 years old, excuse me. Grant Dawson, certainly more active, 21-2 record, 4 KOs, 13 subs. And Ralph is, you know, right behind him, but just a little behind him there. You know, a couple body lengths behind, if we're talking track terms. 16-3 record, 1 KO, 8 subs for Hafa. And he's had a little more turbulence. He's 4-3 since joining the UFC with back-to-back wins, one of them over my boy, the freaking legend and dude with the best hair at one time. We're talking about Clay Guida here. So that was tough, but KGD ain't no freaking Clay Guida at this stage, okay? So stop beating up the old man. Pick on someone your own size and your own age, and that's what he's doing here. And Grant Dawson, man, GD's been on a hell of a run since he's been in the UFC. Joined the Dana White Contender Series in 2017, 10-1-1 record. Only real blemish was a loss to King Green, baby, who's been ranked and is still at the top of the division. Absolute savage. So, like you mentioned, his division's stacked. Can't win them all unless you're Islam or Nurmagomedov. And that didn't happen here. So give me Grant Dawson. Give me the next best thing. Again, I think, like you mentioned, man, all the tools. That's right, baby. That's right. I'm Mexican-American, but I am American nonetheless. So give me that.
That's right. That's right. And last four letters of the word American. Spell I can. That's what Grant Dawson's going to go out there and do, I reckon, on Saturday night. He's going to say, I can. He ain't going to get it done.
and I will.
I reckon he will. Now, we both have Grant Dawson here, so we won't dwell on it, folks. We'll go ahead and move into the next one, though, because we have a welterweight bout between Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and Chokwani, and Jared, the Night Train. Good. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang versus the Night Train. It sounds like a bad sitcom. The Night Train versus the Chitty Bang. But this one should be a really fun matchup for as long as it lasts in the welterweight division. I'll be honest, man. I keep going back and forth on this one. It's damn near a pick 'em at minus 170 and plus 142 here. I think... I almost think that just taking the hitting the alternative total rounds here and taking under 2.5 on this one might be the move. I mean, you can get under 2.5 for damn near the same price that you can get Chitty Bang Bang at minus 160. So I think the under 2.5 is probably the way to go here. What are you thinking, Nano? Do you have a dog in this race? Are you leaning one which way, or are you just thinking it's probably going to be violence?
Oh, man. I definitely know it's going to be violence, my brother. Appreciate your breakdown. Appreciate you tapping me in here. This one's a tough one. Definitely a toss-up. I was going into this leaning a little bit more Jared Gooden in the sense, well, for the reason that he has that wrestling background in his back pocket. He has the 7 submissions to complement the 11 KOs. With the 23 wins, 9 losses, 30 years old. I know that's a lot of numbers, but ultimately 18 of his wins, and that's 23 of those, were by finish. He's 1-1 in the UFC. Jared Gooden, the Night Train, puts his opponents typically on that one-way ticket on the Night Train Express. But I think Chitty Bang Bang is going to have something to say about it, right? I mean, Njoku Wane is a beast, 35 years old, 23-10 record, 14 KOs, 1 sub, 1 submission. He was on a 3-fight losing streak before his most recent win back in March. I think he's back on track, but there's obviously some glaring holes in the game. First and foremost, put on the tape. Dude is explosive. Dude has some very, very fun and explosive and lethal strikes when it comes to the kickboxing and Muay Thai disciplines. Dude's a beast. Dude's a beast. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Chitty Bang Bang. And with that kind of name, I mean, how do you bet against him? Come on, brother. He is the band favorite as well. I think that was honestly what what got Humpty Dumpty over that wall here. So give me Chitty Chitty. Bang Bang, baby. All the way. And big shout out to S Dog. I'm just trying to keep up with you, brother. You laid it out for me to play it out now. Every dog has a day. Come on.
Okay, Smokey Bear. Is that what his name was? I'm just trying to lay it out so you can play it out.
Well, if you know, you know, baby. Come on.
Brother, if you know, you know. Let's go, dude. You already know I get the references, dog.
Come on. Huggy Bear. Report for duty, baby.
Huggy Bear. Let's go, dude. I said Smokey Bear. That's his real persona.
Real talk.
Jeez. Oh, man. I think we're both on Chitty. You talked me into it, brother. Chitty, chitty, bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. We're with you. The 3-inch reach advantage, I think, is going to pay dividends for him. It's weird, right? Because if you watch him fight, it looks so chaotic. But if you know what you're watching and you've ever like trained in striking before, you realize just how patient he is and how much he picks his shots. I'm not saying he's like an Alex Pereira here, right? He's not in that kind of flow state. But he does know how to land those shots, and he knows how to land them very, very precisely and make them count when he does. You're not wrong, Sterling. That boy Nano was going crazy with the breakdowns tonight. He is fucking on fire. Give that guy a fucking air horn and a round of applause, folks.
Thank you. Every dog has his day. Come on now. Let's go.
Yeah, man. So with that being said, it's time for the co-main event of the evening.
It's time
for a middleweight bout between Brad Tavares and Jun Young Park, the Iron Turtle. Oh, man, this is a really, really solid fight. And since we are at the co-main event, man, I am fucking excited about this one. So, Brad Tavares is 36 years of age. I know you typically go for the younger man here. And I got to be honest with you, I like the Iron Turtle, Jun Young Park. He's 33 years of age. He's only 5'8" to a 6'1" Brad Tavares. And he's coming in with a 1-inch reach disadvantage here. But I don't think that's going to matter when you have someone that's standing in front of you, unwilling to go down. He is the Iron Turtle. He is impenetrable. And he will keep moving forward. He is going to work on getting the takedown. You got to think that he will try and get the takedown early on against somebody like a Brad Tavares. But if he doesn't, the good news is the guy hits like a tank. He turns from an Iron Turtle to an Iron Tank if he needs to. We've seen it in previous fights before. I do think that this one's going to be a tough matchup for him. I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park by any means. However, I think there are a lot of paths to victory for the Iron Turtle here. And the main path to victory is grinding his opponent against the cage, landing big shots, big knees, big hooks to the body when he's in there on the clinch, pushing him up, landing uppercuts. I think he does have decent clinch work. And I think Brad Tavares is susceptible to that kind of work. So give me the Iron Turtle by way of grindy turtle style win here. I just think he's going to overwhelm Brad Tavares with constant forward movement. And I don't think Brad Tavares is going to know what to do when he is landing big shots. And this guy's not moving back. No offense. I love Chris Weidman. He's still my boy. But the Iron Turtle is a young spring chicken compared to Chris Weidman and the surgeries that he's had recently. I think this is going to be a much different fight for Brad Tavares. And I'm damn excited about it, Nano. What are you thinking?
I like it, brother. I like it, man. I appreciate the breakdown. And I am equally as excited, man. I share that enthusiasm with you, brother, for a few reasons here. We got our boy Brad Tavares going in. Someone we've seen swing and bang a lot of times, man. And his style only generates nothing but excitement here. So for as long as it lasts, I definitely think butts will be in the seats. There's a reason why it's co-main event here. But, man, our boy BT, man, 36 years old, 20-10 record here, 5 KOs, 2 subs. He's 1-3 in his last 4. Just not trending in the right direction, right? And it's a bit of a toss-up, and he's not on the betting favorite side of this coin. And that's probably, again, another reason why you got to go with the Iron Turtle here, right? Obviously, he's got that shell. He must be cousins with the Ninja Turtles of some sort because he's 33 years old, 17-6 record, 5 KOs, 6 subs. He's sneaky good, man. Very sneaky, sneaky. You underestimate the sneakiness, sir, because he's 7-3 record in the UFC.
Very sneaky, sir.
You underestimate the sneakiness. Fighting out of South Korea. Don't see that too often. But man, I just, it's one of those things. I can't put my finger on it exactly, but it's just he does everything pretty gosh darn good and sticks to a really good game plan and has the wrestling in his back pocket there. Obviously also has some of those submission wins more often than not. He's getting the submission over using the fisticuffs. But I just think everything's trending in the right direction for a Jun Young Park, the turtle here. So I'm going to stick with him. Younger fighter, a little bit more springy, a little bit more tread on those tires, or a little bit more impact that can be had on that shell that he's rocking. So I guess enough of the turtle jokes. But and as much as I love Brad Tavares, man, he's a legend. Someone we've grown to love, but got to go Jun Young Park here. Probably by decision, though. And I think it'd be a fun one. Could be fight of the night. I mean, I think I can see these guys getting bloody. I could see them being tired and just, you know, let it all hang out. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. I think it could definitely go decision. Just because both guys are so fucking durable. Not because I think it's going to be a boring fight. I just think both guys are not really the type to go down.
Like, that's the thing. That's
Brad Tavares fought fucking Adesanya, didn't go down.
Yeah, you can hit him with anything but the kitchen sink, and I think he'll probably stick around to, you know, tell you what kind of sink it was, you know, what kind of porcelain yeah, exactly. you're using. Yeah.
So, with that being said, it sounds like we're both on the same page for a lot of this card, which is fucking wild. I think this might be the most we've agreed in, like, 10 cards. And again, it's time, folks. It's time for the main event. We got the flyweight bout between Brandon Raw Dog Royval coming in against Tatsuro Taida.
I'm happy. Thank you. I'm happy. Thank you.
Let's go. We are excited for it, folks. We are excited. I'm going to do it again.
I'm happy. Thank you. I'm happy. Thank you.
Yeah, we got multiples. We're ready for it, bro.
I was going to say, is there multiple or did you speed that up?
No, there's multiple. There's multiple. He says it after every single win in the UFC. There's like four clips of him saying that.
I mean, I don't. Am I?
There will be five on Saturday.
I was going to say only because it's a layup, but is that because it's only three words he knows or what?
No, so like I think that was the first three words that he learned. And like they had his translator come in and they were like, Bisping walked up and he's like, so you had a good fight, blah, blah, blah. And then translator comes and translates.
Are you happy with your fight?
And they put the mic in front of him. And like, instead of responding to the question at all, he's just like, I am happy. Thank you.
Are you satisfied with your fight?
I am happy. Thank you. Yes. And so since he noticed how like big of a pop he got from the crowd, he's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do this every single time.
He's like, oh, wow, is this a cuss word or something? I like it. It gets people like going.
He's gotten so much better with his English already. But okay. I mean, if all he ever does is come in and just say,
I'm happy. Thank you.
It's fucking perfect, bro. Like,
you say I'm happy, take song. Care, or thank you? I guess
no, I am happy, thank you.
Thank you. Okay,
I'm
okay.
Happy, thank you.
Okay. oh, man. There's so many things I want to say. But thank you for putting that in there. Because that's fantastic.
I could take it even one step further. I can take it even one step further for you. Before I play this clip, I have to say we do not own any rights to this clip. These are owned by Zuffa, UFC, and Disney, aka ESPN.
I'm happy. Thank you. I'm happy, thank you! I'm happy, thank you!
He's happy, thank you!
Is anyone going to tell him? Is anyone going to tell him? Like, is that going to be his... I mean, I guess that's his thing.
That's his thing. Yeah, that's his thing. He's happy, yeah. Thank you. He's winning fights, bro. Why wouldn't he be happy? Thank you. Look, bruh. I think this is the biggest test of his entire career. They have the same number of wins, but Royval has seven more fights than him because he has seven losses. And Tatsuro Taira has none. When you ask him how he feels about having zero losses, he would reply with,
I'm happy to go!
It's a fact. I'm going to run that button into the fucking ground, kids.
I'm gonna lose it. I'm so close to losing it, bro.
That is a t-shirt. I'm going to make that into a t-shirt. And the buttons that I have are literally like him, like, that's what I have as like the thumbnail for the buttons that I click. It's perfect.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I'll show you once we go off air. I'll share screen. It's funny as fuck. Yeah, dude. I mean, like, when I saw this fight get announced, like, honestly, there was a lot of emotions going through my head. It is a big test for Tatsuro Taira. He's very young in his career, and Brandon Royval has literally fought for world titles in the UFC. But, I mean, as a Tatsuro Taira fan,
I'm happy. Thank you.
I can't wait to see it, bro. I think it's a great test for a reason, for many reasons. But gun to my head, who's going to win the fight? I'll tell you who's going to win the fight. Tatsuro Taira. I think he gets it done. I think the kid is the future. I think if Royval wins, it is mainly and wholeheartedly due to the fact that he is getting Tatsuro Taira at the very best time he possibly could, right? Tatsuro Taira, again, is young in his career. He is still developing, whereas Brandon Royval, he's there. He knows how he fights. He knows who he is, and he has been introduced to adversity many, many times in his career. But I digress. Big test or not, Tatsuro Taira is ready for the test. And not only that, I don't think he gets it done by decision. I think he gets a finisher on Raw Dog. I think he gets it done inside the distance via submission or via knockout, folks. He's just so slick. He's so smart. His positional awareness on the ground, that grappling that he displayed in the last match, just from a striker. Like, I'm a striking guy. I suck at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I understand what I'm watching. And like, I can't paint for shit. But let me tell you, when I went to Rome, I was blown away by the art. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter if I'm a white belch. When I watch a black belch, fascinate. So all jokes aside, I think Tatsuro is a fucking specimen. I think he's a stud. I think he is the future of the flyweight division. And with a win over Brandon Royval, I think it will be absolutely just impossible to stand in front of the young man when it comes to him getting a title fight. Nano, who do you have in this one? And tell me why you are so happy.
I am very happy. Thank you. I'm very happy. Thank you for the soundbite. I'm very happy. Thank you for the UFC for putting this fight card together. And I'm very happy. Thank you for asking me the question. No, all jokes aside, brother, Tatsuro's going to get it done, man. And everything we're saying is obviously tongue-in-cheek and with all due respect. But I like the kid, man.
And he is saying with all due respect.
Yeah, I did say it. I said multiple times. I said with all due respect, man. Because I do respect the man, and I respect his skills, and I respect what he brings into the octagon, and even what he says after, even more. Maybe now, I didn't realize that. We did not discuss those sound bites. That's a genuine reaction. I was just about ready to piss my pants, y'all. That was too funny. Thank you for that. man, Tatsuro Taira, 24 years young, but boy, is he ready, right? I mean, it feels like a different day and age when a John Jones of the world was champion at 21. Tatsuro has all the skills, man. And just like Drew mentioned here, he has more wins by submission than knockouts. I mean, yeah, it's exactly that, right? He's 24 years old, 16-0 record. He's got that perfect score like these new generation kids got, the Ilias of the world. 5 KOs, 7 submissions. I mean, these are two of the best that the world has to offer at this weight class. And unfortunately for my boy Brandon Royval, who I love, love his style, love his leg kicks, which I do think is the X factor here. But this is someone, you know, in Brandon Royval that me and my pops, immediate fans. I'm talking like he called me the next day. He's like, do you watch that fight card? Which hardly ever does. So some of the big ones. But he's like, that kid, you know, the kid from Cali. And I had to go back look. I'm like, Brandon Royval? He's like, yeah, man, he's violent. I like him. And Big Tone's been in over 100, you know, street fights, so I definitely take that with high regard. So ever since then, been following him for years. Again, big fan of Brandon Raw Dog Hoyval. Obviously, Raw Dog here. He's funny. He's fought for the title. Obviously, didn't come out victorious. And that last win over my boy Brandon Moreno, who sent him bags packing crazy. I mean, dude's just about done it all, man. I mean, and that was a loss he got to avenge. So now the only person he really has a bone to pick with is the current champ, Alexander Pantoja, who beat him twice. But other than that, he's knocked him up and put him down. Unfortunately, he's got the world's next hardest challenge for him here in a Tatsuro Taira. From a stylistic perspective, Tatsuro is not going to make any mistakes. He's going to stay fundamentally sound. But the way he extends everything, like he puts, I mean, it's just perfect fundamentals. And it's balance, it's strikes that look effortless but are heavy. And he has the IQ that everything he does is with intention. He's trying to set you up. There's no wasted movement. There's a lot of great things I say about the kid, man. What I do want to circle back to real quick is the fact that Brandon Hoyval's calf kicks and his leg kicks are just some of the best the game has to offer right now. So I do question, and maybe there's some dialogue to be had here. Curious to hear your thoughts, brother. Do you think Tatsuro is going to have an issue with Brandon Hoyval's leg kicks, calf kicks? How's he going to do maybe when he starts getting pieced up a little bit? Because this is not an Alex Perez. Brandon Hoyval is gonna put it on a Tatsuro. Do you think he's going to use that to time out the perfect takedown, take the single leg or I guess kind of blend things in that mixed martial arts world? Or what are your thoughts there, brother? Do you see anything? Do you have any predictions there? When you never know what can happen in these 25-minute bouts especially. But what are your thoughts, brother, when it comes to Tatsuro's maybe responses to potentially some adversity? We haven't seen him in deep waters. Do you think Brandon could take him there?
I mean, there's definitely ways that Brandon could take him there, right? I mean, Brandon Hoyval is, again, a very, very wily veteran in every facet of the word. He has fought in title fights. He has seen the distance. And he also is somebody else that has more submission wins than he does knockout wins, right? He is someone that is able to mix the martial arts, as we like to say. And he's somebody that's really able to blend things together when it comes to blending the striking with the grappling. He's not somebody who goes out and just chain wrestles and shoots takedown after takedown after takedown, right? Like a Merab Dvalishvili. He's somebody that will do a one-two shot, like that quick double blast or blast double leg that we used to see Rashad Evans do so well when he was in his prime. I could see him doing something like that to Tatsuro. The issue is if he shoots a crazy blast double, Tatsuro is smart. He's very, very slick. Black belt. He could catch that neck and just scoop that shit up and just fucking squeeze like a python around that neck. I mean, there's just a number of ways that this thing can go. But I will tell you that if either guy gets sloppy, if either guy takes a second to think about their next move rather than execute their next move, it's night-night, folks. It is just night-night. I mean, the brain is just going to be sending error waves trying to connect. I mean, just delay of game here. But I digress, folks. We both have Tatsuro here. I don't think there's going to be controversy or anything like that, but I do think it'll be a nice fight. I do think it'll be a great test for him. And I think that if Tatsuro Taira gets it done here, no matter how, if he gets a sub, if he gets a knockout, if he gets a fucking grindy decision win, I think it's going to be hard to argue that he's not worthy of a title shot next. What do you think, Don? Do you think he'll be ready for that title shot after this?
It'll certainly be hard to deny him, especially if he could put away a Brandon Hoyval in exciting fashion, whether it's a submission win or a TKO or just straight flatlines him. Yeah, how do you make a case against it, right? I don't know where Brandon Moreno is in the picture currently when it comes to getting that shot at Alexander Pantoja. Is he fighting Albazi, or is Albazi just kind of sitting out at bay? Because I guess that's the wild card here. But again, to answer your question directly,
Yeah, they're fighting on the 2nd of November.
Okay.
Brandon Moreno and Amir Albazi are fighting as the main event.
So it's either going to be a kind of eliminator in the sense of Tatsuro will face the winner and then they face the champ, or if Alexandre is ready to go, then could be Tatsuro, to be honest. Or I guess Amir,
I was going to say, I think honestly Tatsuro will be the next one up. I think if Moreno wins, they'll be like, do we really want to see Moreno fight for the belt again? And then if Amir Albazi wins, I think he's going to take too much damage from somebody like a Moreno to be able to say, okay, cool, put me in there in 3 months. I'm ready to fight. Whereas Tatsuro Taira, if you give him the call and say, hey, how do you feel about fighting for the title in 3 months or even 3 weeks? He's responding with,
I'm happy to go!
So, I mean, I think it's
you hear a laugh at the head. You hear a laugh at the head.
It's Anik. Anik's like, ha!
Ha! Dude, I mean, and it's at the apex every time, so there's no, oh my. That is the Anik.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh my God.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and the thing with Alexandre, I mean, he's 34 years old. He just fought in May. Is he going to want to come back and fight this year again or early next year? That's where, in theory, if he's not rushing, if he's not biting at the bit, if he's not chomping at the bit there, maybe he could just wait, right? Maybe he's like, hey, if there's two big fights within 30, 35 days, or you know, maybe on if they're a weekly base, it's like, hey, 4 or 5 weeks, and I think he'll
want to come back because his last fight was in May, back when we were in Cancun.
And so that's the thing. So I guess, do you think it'll be Tatsuo was so inspiring if he calls him out, and if it's like, hey, I've been ready, I want to go, that can happen. But I could also see him, because it's like, you know, the extra 4 weeks to potentially have two options. I can see him doing as well, if that makes sense. Right. Because I guess you wait till November, even if it's like right after he calls him out. Let's say, I don't even know. Let's just throw out a random scenario. Let's say Albazi wins. Let's say Tatsuro wins, but then Albazi wins. And so now you have two legit new guys on the block who both are deserving, both are on win streaks, both are young, hungry. You know, and if they both call out Alexandre, he could respond to one of them, or he could respond directly to Amir. And I guess it's up to Dana, right? Maybe Dana is like, yo, he gets it. Or maybe it's like, oh, we'll wait and see. Maybe they get through the year. Maybe they get through the holidays. And then it's kind of a late announcement where it's like they're already in training camp, but like they didn't announce it yet type scenario, if that makes sense.
I'll be honest with you. I think what happens is, if I may interject, I think please, if Amir Albazi wins and Tatsuro Taira wins, if they both call out as Alessandro Pantoja, Alessandro Pantoja is going to look at them and say, okay, they're both equally talented studs. Both are equally deserving. One is 30 years old and entering his prime. The other is 24 years old and nowhere near his prime. I'm going to take the 24-year-old so I can beat him before he actually gets better, so I don't have to fight him again in my career. And then hopefully by the time I fight the other guy, either he doesn't matter and he's not still worthy of a fight, someone else takes care of him for me, or he's still not going to get any better than he was 6 months ago or a year ago. He's going to be 30 to 31 still. So he's still in that fight prime versus I can take out this kid that hasn't plateaued yet, that hasn't hit the upper echelon of his skills yet, even though he looks fucking good. It's just a more logical choice if you're a champion, in my opinion. Albeit not the happiest choice from a fan perspective.
You might be right. And usually we don't necessarily, you know, get count the chickens before they hatch here. Obviously, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves talking, you know, future picture here. But it's fun, man. It's fun to hypothesize a little bit, because that's where it's at, right? I mean, the winner here is right in that conversation. Two of the best right now. And shoot, man. I mean, we both might look a little silly. Brandon Hoyval just throws a monkey wrench in these plans we're kind of drumming up here. So, again, I mean, well, you never know, brother. You never know, Nacho.
Good. Okay? You're good.
Those leg kicks,
that's
like
Brandon
I said,
saying that.
He probably would say that. Don't be crazy now. He probably would say it like that too, to be silly. He's a goofy guy. But the leg kicks, the strikes, like his elbows, how violent he is, even from the bottom position or in unfavorable ones. Like an inch, he's going to try to hit you. So that's the one thing that excites me for sure. But you never, like I said, you never know, brother. Tatsuro's, he's going to have to go out there and earn it. But if he does, yeah, give the kid what I think we all want to see. And that's a title shot. Shout out to Bell, at the champion, at the champion. Let's go, baby.
Let's fucking go, kid. Let's go. I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that's fantastic. Again, we agree. I'm gonna pour up one final shot for the show for that one, because again, it doesn't happen very often where we actually fucking agree with each other this much. And I've got underdogs open. I've got DraftKings open, so we can talk through some bets here. Before we talk through some bets, though, I am going to do a rundown of the leaderboard for the UFC fantasy draft that we have going right now. Folks, for UFC Las Vegas, here's to cheers. You. If you do drink, drink up. If not, have a shot of water, folks. Cheers either way. We appreciate you.
Cheers. Thanks for sticking around.
You're the real heroes, folks.
Both.
So, when it comes to the total scores, we've got Drew in the top with 720 points, just leading the dance. We got Mary right underneath him with 527 points. We got Hiram right underneath that in third place. With 196 points. Nano just creeping right the fuck up on that guy with 192.02 here. You got me just shy of making the caboose of this fucking train, folks, with 132. But that's okay. I got a shit ton of fighters still left to go. I got a few of them going this week. And then we got A-Train Adrian making up the caboose here with 67.17 here, folks. Is that good? High score? Is that good? Did I break it? Fucking Drew. Fuck you, bro. Let's go, dude. Let's go. S-Dog MMA sparking up. We fucking love to see you, brother. We'll definitely do the same right after the show, my guy. You already know what it is. So yeah, Drew is definitely kicking ass and taking names. He's kicking ass and chewing bubble gum. The problem is he's all out of bubble gum. So he's just kicking our asses right now, folks. Nano. When it comes to these underdogs bets, what are you thinking? You got any skin in the game here? Got any fun bets you've scoped out, or are you doing it live action on the draw here?
Yeah, it'll probably end up being live action. Underdogs did not have anything drummed up, but just straight bets here for the card overall. I'm liking my guy Clayton Carpenter there to set the tone. First fight of the night. I like my underdog, Sean Sharoff. Go ahead and book that. Take it to the bank at plus 260. Lock that in ASAP. I mean, dude, I might maybe parlay a little Themba, you know? Maybe a little Ramazanbek, Temirov. Two guys I just feel like are basically locks. Although, no. And then the last one, I might throw Tatsuro in there too, honestly. Low key, as just a little three-peater.
I love that. Love that. The only thing better than two-peaters is three-peater.
Maybe.
Drew out here saying, is that good? High score, is that good? And then he says, and John Jones to win it all in the end? I mean, that's if he fights, bro. I mean, John Jones fights once every fucking decade at this point. So, I mean, best of luck. Hopefully he fights for you. But then again, my heavyweight pulled out of this week, so fuck me, right? Yeah, I like your parlays. I like your bets. I got some straight odds bets here. Usually I like to go dogs. You know, I love making my dog picks, but for this one, no different. I made a lot of dog picks. But I did put a little favorites parlay here. I call it the NWO, the New World Order, brother. So we got Themba Garimbo, we got Tatsuro Taira, and we got Jun Young Park, all international delights. All favorites, and you can lock those in. So you got a minus 380, a minus 290, and a minus 198. You lock those together, plus 155 odds. I am going to go ahead and put one unit on that to get 2.55 back. I really like that. Other bets that I have, we have another little fun parlay. Kind of juicing the odds a little bit here, folks. So we got Temba Garimbo. We got Jonathan Pierce, money lines. And then we got Sean Sharaf. My guy Nano talked me into it at plus 260. Hard not to. You get that at plus 607. Gonna go ahead and drop a unit on that to get a little over seven back. And then, of course, like I said originally in the beginning of the show, got to put a half unit on Sean Sharaf. Just had to lock that in, folks. Had to lock that one in. And then, of course, just because, we're going to do it. Actually, no, we're not. Those odds are trash. Hold on. Let's see here. Winning method. Let's find the juicier odds here for a Tetsuro Taira. Shall we? Oh, we like that. Let's see what the double play odds are. We're inside the distance for Tetsuro if he gets it done here. Oh, yeah. TKO or submission. We got plus 100 odds. We're going to go ahead and drop it. No, we're going to drop it like it's hot. We're putting two units on Tetsuro Taira inside the distance.
I like it, brother.
That's double your pleasure, double your fun. So two units will turn into four.
That's what it's all about. Go big or go home, baby. Playing with house money.
That's right, baby. That is right. Playing with house money. We're either going to build the house or burn the house. And then when it comes over to underdogs, I did look at some stuff, some fun stuff here. Let's see what we get. So we're doing baby locks on this one. Let's see here. Excuse me. All right. So we got three picks here, folks. We got Morono and Taira, okay, on significant strikes, overs. So I got Morono beating Daniel Rodriguez with a 9.5 plus strike differential. He's a dog. So basically, as long as he lands within nine strikes of D-Rod, I hit. And then I got Tetsuro Taira at a plus 3.5 strike differential. So as long as he lands within three strikes significant of Brandon Royval, that hits. That is, let's see, one unit would get you 3x your money. I'm going to put a fifth of a unit on that one. The next one we have is Temba Garimbo over 35.5 significant strikes. We got Abdul Razak Al-Hassan getting it done by finish. We got Alex Morono to win the over on significant strikes again. And we got Tetsuro Taira to win over on significant strikes again, as well as Jonathan Pierce to get it done on significant strikes as well. That one is a 10x multiplier. Went ahead and threw a fifth for you tonight. And then, of course, we have Tetsuro Taira to win by submission and Jun Young Park to win the strike differential against Brad Tavares. That is a 3.3x your money. And I threw a fifth of a unit on it because why the fuck not? So all in all, should be a really fun weekend here, folks. I'm really, really liking our bets. I'm really liking the fight card overall. And honestly, I'm really liking the folks in the chat. Shout out Sterling. Shout out Drew. Shout out Mary.
Big shout out.
And I'm praying too, Mary. I'm praying for you to get that big old win. I'm praying for you to get that fucking Grant Dawson early round one finish and like a quick 150 points or some crazy shit. Let's
go. Anything can happen. Come on.
Anything can happen. And let me tell you, if that happens and Tetsuro Taira gets me 150 points,
I'm happy to go!
Bro! I can't wait. So, again, folks, you know the drill. We appreciate you all being here. We appreciate you sticking around with us for a little over an hour and a half tonight. You could have chosen to be anywhere on this beautiful Thursday night, but you chose to be right freaking here. So, if you are here, make sure you do the extra bit. Like, comment, subscribe, smash that bell for notifications. You know the fucking drill. And folks, please, 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 please keep on going and keep on growing, because that's the way to make yourself happy.
I'm happy. Thank you.
You've been listening to the MMA Anomaly Show. No filter. As you may have been able to tell, we dig the MMA, and our passion is to dive deep into the upcoming fights, give you our expert breakdowns, and help you make sense of all the chaos that is the fight game. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, make sure to find us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at MMAnomaly. Be cool, and we'll see you next time.